Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The political suspense thriller Art of Deception by Jeffrey Bott follows Daniel Cross, a renowned British scientist who is enjoying his new life when suddenly one of the world's largest container ships explodes in the Panama Canal. The CIA flies Cross down to Panama to investigate the incident. However, during his investigation, he discovers that the suspect is artificial intelligence that has been programmed to assassinate him. In a race against time, Cross escapes death to locate an island somewhere in the vast waters that is orchestrating the events. Jeffrey Bott's second book in the Daniel Cross trilogy is a page-turner that culminates in a shocking final chapter. Jeffrey was born in England, became an outstanding athlete during his high school years. An injury playing high school rugby for his city would eventually turn his life upside down 2 decades later. After graduating with an electronic engineering degree from the University of Sheffield, he moved to the U.S., started his own scientific company soon after. He has published the world's first analytical data, is an award-winning scientist, well-respected, admired, gets invited to laboratories all around the world. Jeffrey's first book, Uphill, was published in 2019, and now part of the Daniel Cross trilogy, Art of Deception, featured at this year's Los Angeles Times Festival of Books. And we welcome author Jeffrey Bott to This Week in America. Jeffrey, welcome to the program. Great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Rick. Good morning. It's really a privilege to be invited here. So thank you for doing that, for sure.
Well, it's a true pleasure to have you here to talk about all of your books, and we'll get to the Daniel Cross trilogy here in a second. I mentioned that first book that had such an impact on you and other people worldwide. The title of that book is Uphill, published in 2019. This was really an inspirational book that you wrote. Let's talk about that for a few minutes here at the beginning. What was the inspiration for you behind this first book, Uphill?
Oh my goodness, Rick. I went through some horrific events in my life, and I couldn't deal with them, to be honest. And you know, to keep it really short, it's a long book, but to keep everything short, I've had 13 left knee surgeries, and 7 of those were horrific. That was after my knee surgery in school, 20 years later, my knee collapsed. And so I had it rebuilt. I had a specialist in Tahoe rebuild it, but it went from disaster to disaster. I rejected many things. After I rejected the second rebuild, and understand these were horrific surgeries. Even my surgeon admired that I kept going through all these surgeries, because he said many people would have given up. But a month after I rejected my knee surgeries, I had divorce papers filed. That ended up, you can't even find my divorce file. It's now sealed from public records. I honestly don't know if that's legal or not anymore, but it doesn't matter. My divorce file is sealed from public record. I got kicked out of my house, 5 minutes to get out. I bought another house 4 months later. That was in a forest fire, a catastrophic forest fire. I literally watched with my 2 kids as our neighborhood went up in smoke. 254 homes were destroyed, and I was on a street of 24 homes. There were 6 left after the forest fire. And, you know, after that, I fell in love again. I was a little crazy. I didn't realize the dating world had changed after 20 years of marriage. And I ended up, she lied to sheriffs, filed a false police report, and I ended up being thrown in jail. But all this chaos was going on, and I compartmentalized my chaos, and I put it into my head, and I still did my work. I did, honestly, I'm boasting here, but I did phenomenal work even with all this chaos going on. People who worked with me around all this abstract nonsense, they couldn't believe that it was going on in my life, because I didn't talk about it. I kept it silent. I just, like I said, compartmentalized.
Yes.
People told me that I need to purge my head. Professionals told me to purge my head. So I did. And I wrote this manuscript. It was 110,000 words. I printed it out. It was 500 pages. You know, it was massive. I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't even know I could write. I sent it off to a professional editor I knew. She said, "Jeff, we've got to do something with this." She sent it off to a professional writer. I don't know the name of the professional writer. She wouldn't release that. But he said, "Jeff, you've got to make some changes. You've got to do X, Y, and Z. But this story needs to be published." And he said people will resonate. You know, they'll read what you've gone through, and it'll be a motivational and inspirational story for others. And that's how Uphill started. That's the long and short of how Uphill came along. But I didn't know I could write, and then it was published in 2019, as you stipulated, and then a year later it was nominated for an Independent Writers Award. And honestly, I'm still stunned at what's going on in the literary world with me. But that's how Uphill started, and people want it to be a movie, so I'm looking at that now, and I you know, it's anyway. That's how Uphill came
well,
about.
That is what I mean. Such a remarkable story in any one of those circumstances that you went through would literally derail most of us. You kept going through all of this, and you were able to compartmentalize it to the point where people did, at work obviously didn't even know what you were going through. Did your analytical mind help you as you were going through all of this and sorting through all of the problems, the pain of the physical injury, the pain of losing the house, the pain of marriages? Did your outlook in life, the analytical mind that you obviously have, did that help you through this?
It did, actually, because I, as I say, I was doing world-class research and, yes, and work. I had a laboratory, and I my chemist, the PhD chemist that I hired to came from Taiwan. I hired him to do my work, but he gave me one day notice and left. So I'm coming out of my 12th knee surgery, and I get told my chemist is leaving. I got one day notice, so I had to sit in front of an instrument, learn how to operate it, learn how to use the software on scientific research I knew nothing about. And I did phenomenal work. That's where my award came from in South America. That we worked with a group. My analytical work was nominated for an award in South America in 2013. That's where it all came from. But yes, I put my head down and I concentrated on my work. I had to. I had a company, I had employees to pay. But also, Rick, I didn't mention that the surgeon said I won't be able to cycle again. So I said, no, that's not right. I'm not going to do that. They wanted me to replace my knee. I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I went and borrowed a bike. I had no pain. So I started training up massive mountain passes. And that's really where I put my energy. I could have hit the bottle. I could have done a lot of things.
Oh, yes.
I could have been an alcoholic. I could have been a drug addict. I was actually addicted to opioids, addicted to Vicodin, going through all this mess of surgery after surgery. And you know, I just said, I'm not gonna do this. I'm not gonna take that path that's easy for people to decide to do. And I said, no, I'm not gonna do it. I got on my bike and I started cycling. And the irony is, the deeper my life cascaded down into this dark abyss, the more cycling I did, the higher mountain passes I climbed. I mean, it was phenomenal. I took it out on my legs, even though I had one leg that had no power, had no strength. I did stunning stuff. I'm boasting again, but I did stuff most people would have walked away from.
Well, yeah, healthy people would have walked away. So it's a real tribute to your perseverance, what you went through. The book is still available, still getting rave reviews. It's Uphill by Jeffrey Bott, Geoffrey Bott, Bott. We'll link onto his website, and we'll give you that information here in a second. But you can go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, link on, get information for the book Uphill. As you're writing this, people apparently said to you, you're a good writer, and you won an award for writing the book. How did that go from that to doing a thriller series? How did you make that transition from writing about yourself, a real self-help manual, to this remarkable thrilling trilogy series you've got?
Well, that's an interesting transition too, because like like I said, I didn't know I could write. And then I write this book, I publish this book, and people, even my lawyer said, Jeff, it's, you know, you can't think about what you've written. It's a pipe dream. And then he read it and he said, wow. He was one of the ones that said, Jeff, your writing style is brilliant. I mean, it's simple English. You don't need a dictionary to sit down with any of my books to understand what's going on. And he said, you'd write a good thriller. And he wasn't the only one who said that. And I'm lucky. I've been invited to labs around the world, as you already alluded to. And I've seen and done things that most people can't even dream of. I go to countries as an invitee, as a guest. So I get to places that tourists don't go to. So I bring some of those stories into my writing style, into my books. And I think that's where people have said, you'd write a good thriller. So I started off with a thriller. And, you know, Biological Deception was written in 2020, and that's when I couldn't travel. I refused to travel. And then I'm sorry, I'm not going to get into a political discussion about COVID-19, but I wasn't going to be jabbed. And so I didn't, and I could, which meant I couldn't travel. So I sat down and wrote Biological Deception. And the interesting part of that book, after it was published, I learned some things. I was on the right path. I was very perceptive about developing a virus around the world. And new information came out after I published that book. And so this is where Reader's Magnet came in. And I rewrote some of it. I added 10,000 more words, which is another 30, 40 pages, that got into more details of why they're developing the virus around the world. But this is actually going on, you know, this is real. So I brought in some real information into Biological Deception. So there's now a second edition. But again, I never written a thriller before. I didn't know that I had this capability, and people like my writing style. Any author can claim, you know, their book is brilliant and one of the best in the world, but it's not up to the author who decides that. It's up to the readers, and I've been
Yes.
humbled and shocked at comments from readers.
Well, the readers have spoken, and it's not just a thriller, it's a series of thrillers. The first one in the trilogy is Biological Deception, the one we're talking about specifically today, Art of Deception, and the third is Political Deception. You'll find all of these, the usual places, readersmagnet.com, information there as well, amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, all those places. And Sola Hill Publishing Company, that's Jeffrey's company. Hope I said that correctly. Was I close?
You know, Solihull, it's actually where I was born. I was born in it's a suburb of Birmingham in
That's the
England. It's
connection.
Solihull.
Okay.
Yeah,
So
that's the connection.
nice name. And
I'm a Land Rover fan too, and so it's where Land Rovers are made, actually. So
now that's
that
another.
has
So
nothing to do with Solihull, but I was born there. Yes, that's where the connection is.
That's Solihull Publishing.com. That's on our website. That'll take you to Jeffrey's website and information there on all of the books. Tell me about your protagonist. I love Daniel Cross. Talk about how you developed him. Is he based on a particular person? Does he have some of your characteristics? Tell me about Daniel Cross.
That's a very good question. I gave my first two books to my neighbor, and then he sent me a text. I'd forgotten I'd given him my books. He sent me a text. He said he called me Jeffrey. He called Daniel Cross Jeffrey, but it's not me. However, to define this person, I wanted to create a guy who'd been shaped by life. And I wanted him to have a character, a personality. I wanted him to be real. I wanted readers to like this guy, to love this guy. He's got my English humor. He's got my sarcasm and wit. But also, it's important when you're writing a long series like this one. You know, it's almost 1,000 pages of writing. You've got to know the main character because you've got to keep him consistent through the book. Otherwise, it makes no sense. So people say it's me, but it's not. But in saying that, I wanted to create events that happened in his life before I write the books, before he comes into the books, and it shapes him. It makes him emotional. It makes him make decisions. Honestly, as I wrote Biological Deception, there's some chapters in there. There's some events in there. Even I'm got tears in my eyes as I'm writing this stuff. You know, because it's pretty emotional, even for me. You go through 13 surgeries, and you get emotional. It's the chemistry changing the body. I have no control. I can't control sometimes my emotions, and that's how it is. My father had a stroke, and I saw him being emotional, and it's not his weakness. It's just he's got no control. So I wanted that with this character Daniel Cross, and it's throughout the series. You know, he's pretty emotional. He takes on things. I think that's important. People can relate to him, and so I wanted that difference. If you watch Marvel stories, they're comic. I mean, exactly, they're made up. They're comic stories, but to me, they're not real characters. But they don't have emotional. They don't have personalities. And I wanted that in my main characters. In fact, I bring that into all my characters. I think they have to have a personality. And I actually met Lee Child, you know, in New York in May, and he wrote the Jack Reacher series.
Yes.
And during his discussion, people think it's him, but it's not, except he's a tall guy, and Jack Reacher is a tall, big guy. And I asked him afterwards, after he gave his talk, I said, it's you really, isn't it? He said, Jeff, yeah. He said, you've got to know the character. You've got to know the personality of the person that's going to be in the story throughout these books, throughout the presentations, throughout all the literary where they talk about Jack Reach. It's the same with Daniel Cross. I've got to know who that person is. People say it's me, but it's not me, except he's got similar character traits. He's got the same humors, same wit, witticism, but he's been through events in his life that shaped him, and I wanted that to be important. And
well,
I've gone through that. I've gone through events that I call them non-recoverable. There's no recovery from some events that I've gone through. You just have to deal with it as best you can.
Well, he's a remarkable character, Daniel Cross. He is the protagonist. You'll follow him in all three in the trilogy. Art of Deception is the one we're focused on today, but all three are available. I'll give you again all that information. You'll find them at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, ReadersMagnet.com, all of the usual places. What makes Art of Deception unique? And I'm going to ask that and say, you have this way of working things that are in the headlines now, topics that we're concerned about, that we're talking about. Artificial intelligence, I mentioned, has a role in this as well. What makes your writing unique? What makes Art of Deception unique?
It's when I wrote Biological Deception, I kept reading it. I thinking, wow, this is incredible. I thought it was a good story. Even I'm the author. I wrote it. It has to be a good story. But I'm thinking, wow, I'm astonished that I could write such a story. And a lot of it's imagination. So then I sat down with a friend, and after the COVID-19 stuff, we had supply chain issues, and so we sat down and thought, well, let's do something with. We talked about doing something with ships, you know, container ships. So then I thought, okay, how do we do this? I thought, maybe I can bring in artificial intelligence. And this was written in 2021 before AI took off. It's whether I was perceptive, whether I predicted what was going to happen. I can't, you know, I can't predict the future. I don't claim that I can predict the future. But I brought in artificial intelligence. I thought, okay, this would be interesting. And I did a lot of research for this book. And you can control these ships externally without giving away too much information. I had robots being designed to sink these ships to create chaos in the world. And again, it's deception. There's a lot of deception going on in the world these days. So these robots are creating chaos, but in reality, robots are being developed to replace world leaders. And in fact, one of the world leaders is replaced in Art of Deception. And I'm not going to spoil the book by saying who, but he gets replaced, but nobody knows he's replaced except my protagonist can see differences. And that's the thing, you know, you can create these clones, but they're not going to be perfect. And I might be cloned, but somebody who knows me will see differences. There might be some skin imperfections. There might be some language that I use. There might be my tone. Things might be different to the clone. Yes. And clones are, robots are programmed by humans. So you're going to have human error. And narcissists are everywhere. They're all over the place. And they're so arrogant that they're going to make mistakes. And that's a theme too. You know, these narcissists want to control the world. They want to take it over. And they try and do that with these robots. And you don't, people don't, I wrote it in such a way, and I don't know why I did this, but I did. I wrote it in such a way, you don't know what, the reader doesn't know what's going on until the very last chapter. And I did that on purpose. I want to bring in these shock values into my books, and I do it in the first one. I do it in the third one too. But Art of Deception, people don't really know what's going on until the very last chapter, and I do that on purpose. And then it all clicks, and people will sit down and close the book and go, "Holy smokes!" But it's written that way. I've got to keep you got to keep the reader energized. You got to keep them focused.
Well, you do. That's why it's so difficult it's so difficult to put the book down at 2 o'clock in the morning, because I want to see what's happening next. You have us there, and you might as well just clear a week so you can read the book straight through and enjoy it, because you'll be at work and your mind will be on, I wonder what Daniel's up to now. I need to get home and need to pick up on that. And artificial intelligence, time is going by so quickly, but I want to get your thoughts on that. As a scientist, you hear people that are like, "This is great." Others that are scared to death. Others that are down the middle on it. What's your thoughts on artificial intelligence as someone who's really studied this and someone from it with a scientific background?
Actually, it's pretty scary what's going on to me. My science comes into the book. The book is a high tech novel, but I try and keep the science simplified, but not too simple. I mean, so people can understand it. But it is scary what's going on. I don't think a lot of people understand these robots. They program themselves. So as they learn, you know, they're first programmed by people, by humans, but they have to be controlled. My premise of Art of Deception, or the main theme, is the robots have to be controlled centrally. So there's got to be some centralized mechanism that controls the robots. They are in control of themselves. However, they do program themselves as they learn as they go along. And so it is scary to me. Would I want a robot in my house? I don't think so. Electric cars, I think electric cars aren't about the environment. They're about control. And, you know, now you've got a car that can control you and decide whether you're going to start it or not, or where you're going to go and travel.
Yeah, yes.
To me, it's scary. And people don't understand this technology. That's the thing. You know, politicians don't understand the technology. Most of them are lawyers. What do they know about this high technology?
Exactly.
So they're making decisions for us, which are pretty scary decisions.
Well, we could do a whole show talking about artificial intelligence or so many other of the topics that you have. And we're focused on in the program today, Art of Deception. That's the second in the trilogy for Jeffrey Bott. The trilogy thriller is thriller series of thrillers based on fiction, but you call it predictive fiction. Talk about that. What makes it predictive fiction?
I have this knack and ability to be perceptive, and I predict what's going on, and I honestly don't know how I do that. It's just subconscious, I guess, because Art of Deception, I wrote that in 2020, 2021, and you know, AI is out there now. The book after that has events happening that I did a lot of research on. I was in France, and I was in France twice last year, and I picked up on things. I learned things. I ask a lot of questions. I'm traveling on my own. I meet people. I go to bars, not because I'm an alcoholic. I can sit there with one beer that lasts, you know, half a day. But I sit and talk to people, and I get information from people. So even an event in political deception, I write, and it happened after I published the book. The event that I write about happened, and it happened in a way that I said it would happen in my book. So it, to me, it is fascinating, but I do a lot of research to make sure I get things right, even though it's fiction. You've got the liberty to make up anything in fiction, but I still want factual information. I still want details to be accurate, and I think that's important too. So it's why I can predict. I have no idea. I don't have a true answer to that, but it does make fascinating reads, and even I stand back and even I go, whoa.
Even the author is impressed with the books. We're talking about the trilogy, the thriller trilogies. The first one is Biological Deception, Art of Deception, and then Political Deception. I want to take just a second to talk about that. You've got topics there that we hear a lot about. You've got deep state. You've got the Western oligarchs. You've got an assassination attempt. You've got all of this transpiring there. Talk about Political Deception. That's another thriller. Once you get over the shocking conclusion of Art of Deception, then you got to pick up Political Deception because you're right back at it again.
Yes, that was an easy transition. You asked before why it became a trilogy. I don't know why it became a trilogy, but it did. You know, they start off by trying to take over the world with a virus. Well, that didn't work. And that could be true, whether you believe in COVID-19 or what. That could be a factual statement. Then they try and take over the world with robots, and Daniel Cross stops that. So now the next transition seemed very straightforward to me. Now they go back to the old-fashioned method of trying to take over the world, is controlling and manipulating politicians to move them into strategic positions. And I always try, and one of the greatest books I've ever read was Jaws, and I read that before the movie came out. The first chapter is stunning. You cannot read Jaws and put the book down. You cannot read the first chapter and put the book down. That's impossible, because they reckon the first chapter was one of the best chapters in the history of books. I mean, it was a stunning first chapter, and that's how I write. You know, people don't know who I am, so I bring the first chapters grab the reader, and there's always action, there's always something going on, and that's done on purpose. So in the third book, Political Deception, they're trying to take over the world by manipulating politicians, paying them off, the Western oligarchs. They're rich. They have a lot of money. These people are billionaires. They control media. This is fiction, but it's actually not. There's a lot of reality to that. So one of the first chapters is assassination of I'm not going to give the story away, is assassination of one of the richest people in the world. And then they kill one of the future prime minister of the UK. And this is how it is. It's fiction, but there's a lot of reality to my stories and what's going on in the world. It's unfortunate, but that's how it is. So the third book, they want to take over the world by manipulating politicians and moving them into areas where they're going to get control. And you're right, there's assassinations going on, there's explosions going on, there's a war starting in Europe. I mean, it's fiction, but unfortunately, a lot of this is reality.
Well, and you can see that as a reader. It may seem far-fetched. It may seem outlandish, but it's all feasible. It's all something that could happen. In fact, there are rumors that all of this that's happened, the topics that you brought out in all of your books, this now, it ends the trilogy. What are you doing with Daniel, and what are you working on now?
People come to my booth. I work hard, Rick. I'm 61, but I still work hard. I'm energized. I have a lot of energy. And even though my left knee is finished, I got bone on bone, no meniscus, no menisci. I that's how I live now. I got to replace my knee. But I still go out there. I'm still pushing, because if you don't push, luck isn't going to hit you in the face. You have to be out there doing it. So I have a booth, and my booth, people love my booth. It's really professional, but that's how I like to do things. And people come up and they talk to me. I talk to a lot of Americans from all over the country, and some foreigners come and buy books too from me. And the trilogy is now in France. Someone bought a copy and sent it to France. So there's a lot of I'm interested when people talk to me, when they come to me, and I know if they've got the right information now, because, or if they're worth talking to, because they start off the conversation, and then it gets deeper and deeper. Then I ask specific questions, and a lot of people gave me an idea for the next book. It's still Daniel Cross. It's not part of this trilogy. I've tried to separate it from the trilogy, but it still involves Daniel Cross, and it's science fiction. I'm bringing in aliens into this story. And when a friend of mine, he writes short stories, science fiction, he said, "You, Jeff, you write a science fiction next." Well, that's different genre, that's different skill level. And so now I'm writing and I'm really excited. I'm 53,000 words into this book, and it's got me energized too. As I said before, I'm energized when I write. If I'm energized writing the stories, it's going to mean the readers will be too. If
Exactly,
I'm
yes.
lackadaisical and not interested in what I'm writing, it's going to reflect on the readers. They're not going to buy the book. So now I'm writing a book, science fiction. It's different genre, but I think I'm doing a good job with this. And again, it's, people want to control the world. I'm still in that area of wanting to control.
Well, it's still relevant, so we'll be looking forward to that. Hopefully, we'll have a chance to talk about that as well. All of the books we started off talking about, Uphill, that's still in publication. You'll find that wherever books are sold. The books in the trilogy, very simple: Biological Deception, Art of Deception, and Political Deception. Those are available wherever books are sold. Jeffrey's website, solihullpublishing.com, Solihull publishing.com, readersmagnet.com, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, all of the usual places. Links on our website for all of the books that Jeff has out there. And hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about future books. I want to thank Reader's Magnet, self-publishing and marketing company, for arranging our conversation with Jeffrey today. It has been a pleasure. So much you've got going on in your life. The books will inspire, motivate people with Uphill, and now you're entertaining us with the remarkable Daniel Cross series, the trilogy, and it's good news that he will be back with us. Jeffrey, thank you for being with us on the program, and thank you for entertaining us and getting us thinking about all these things going on in our lives in an informative and entertaining way.
Rick, I want to thank you for inviting me onto your show. It's been really interesting and fascinating. And I just want to end by saying two things. Uphill was my first book, and it was nominated for an award. Art of Deception is my third book. It's the second in the Deception series, but it's just been nominated to be on New York Times Best Books of 2024, which has floored me. I'm stunned. But anyway, I obviously people like my stories. They like my writing style. And it's been a pleasure being on here, Rick. And I want to thank you for taking your time to do that and interview me today.
It has been a pleasure. I was going to close with that listed in the New York Times Magazine Best Books of 2024. That's the New York Times that says that about Jeffrey's book, Art of Deception. All of the books, excellent reading. You'll find all of the information on our website, links there as well. Jeffrey, thank you again for being with us on the program. Looking forward to continuing our conversation. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Rick. It's been a pleasure. And thank you. I've enjoyed the interview. Thank you.
Excellent. Time went by too quickly. We'll have Jeffrey back on the program. Jeffrey Bott, B-O-T-T, the author. You're listening to This Week in America. We're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.